Blog Talk Radio.
Neither chasteneth me in thy hot displeasure. For thine hour is steadfast in me, and my hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sins. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head. As an heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, my God, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me, and they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things, and imagine deceit all the day long. But I, as a deaf man, heard not, and I was as a dumb man that opened not his mouth. Thus I was as a man that heareth not, and in whose mouth are no reproofs. For in thee, O Lord my God, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God. For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. My feet slippeth. They magnify themselves against me, for I am ready to halt. My sorrow is continually before me, for I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. But mine enemies are lively, and they are strong, and they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. They also that render evil for good are mine adversaries, because I follow the thing that good is. Forsake me not, O Lord my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my rock, my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.
I will lift my eyes to the heavens, from whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, who made the heaven and the earth. Lord, down here the roads and times are rocky.
verse 18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Welcome to the House of Christ Ministries presents Proclaiming Jesus Christ Throughout the World by Honoring the Great Commission. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, coming to you from Elmont, New York. We will be on the air every Wednesday and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will not be taking any calls, but if you have questions, please email us at hodminister@gmail.com. Or you could write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. You can visit our social Christian network at www.myhocm.ning.com. For all your church supplies, including Bibles, books, audiobooks, Bible study, music, jewelry, apparel, greeting cards, and much more, visit our Christian bookstore at www.houseofchristbookstore.com, our online Bible Institute at www.houseofchristbibleinstitute.org, our online Bible College at www.houseofchristbiblecollege.org. You can also visit our affiliated school of ministry, House of David Ministries, Inc., at www.riversofrevival.com. Have you desired to see your family, friends, neighbors, and co-workers come to the Lord? Perhaps you have invited them to church and they did not come, or they came and did not understand what was being taught because they could not ask questions. God wants these people to come to Him and to know Him. Yet who will reach these people that you know and love? Beloved, it must be you. God has placed these people in your life and you in theirs in order for you to reach them for Him. You may feel that you don't know how, yet God would not put you in a position to do something without giving you the tools to accomplish it. This ministry, along with the House of David Ministries, has been positioned by the Lord to provide tools for people just like you, who have a desire but are lacking the resources. We have developed home Bible study curriculums that will help you reach your family, friends, co-workers, and community with the truth of the Word of God. These studies will facilitate a 2 to 3 months Bible study. They come complete with lessons, worksheets, and answer keys. We have also included a flyer that you can personalize to suit the date, time, and location of your Bible study. These studies have been formatted for duplication and distribution to as many people as possible. Choose from the following topics: When Jesus Comes, A Study on Eternal Life, What Christians Believe, How to Break a Curse and Receive God's Blessings, How to Increase Your Faith, How to Pray So That God Will Hear You, In the Beginning, and Understanding the Supernatural, Angels and Demons. Don't let fear, doubt, and unbelief stop you from being the extension of Jesus Christ that every believer is called to be. Cast down the imaginations from the enemy that is telling you that you are unequipped or unprepared. Your family, your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers are hungry and thirsty. Some are lost and dying, and you have what they need. They may not come to you, but you can take the word to them. The Hindu, the Muslim, the Jehovah's Witness, the atheist may never set foot in your church, but they will accept an invitation to your home. The Church of Christ is not a building or a facility. It consists of every believer, and wherever we go, all the resources of the kingdom are accessible by the Spirit of God that lives within us. Beloved, it is time to reach out and be the church. Luke 17, verse 21 says, Behold, the kingdom of God is within you. I encourage you to make use of this opportunity. Donations will be appreciated for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You could write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. As we continue on this spiritual journey, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission, we would like to share with you tonight our statement of faith. We believe the Bible to be the inspired and only infallible Word of God. We believe that there is one God, eternally existent in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe in the blessed hope, which is the rapture of the Church of God, which is in Christ at His return. We believe that the only means of being cleansed from sin is through repentance, faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and being baptized in water. We believe that regeneration by the Holy Ghost is absolutely essential for personal salvation. We believe that the redemptive work of Jesus Christ on the cross provides healing for the human body in answer to believing prayer. We believe that the baptism in the Holy Spirit, according to Acts 2 verse 4, is given to believers who ask for it. We believe in the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit by whose indwelling the Christian is enabled to live a holy and separated life in this present world. We believe in the Great Commission according to Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, and Mark 16, verses 17 and 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. The Great Commission brings the first gospel to its grand finale. Christianity is not represented here as mere reverential devotion of disappointed men who honor their martyred leader. Here is a far different scene. The triumphant living God sends forth his ambassador to proclaim his gospel throughout the world. This great commission is not just an order, but a pronouncement victory by the risen Savior through his disciples. All power or authority is now in the hands of Jesus Christ in the heaven and in the earth. On the basis of that authority and power, the Christian disciple is to carry out the great commission of the church. Go ye conveys the force of a command. Go, the idea expressed, is that you must go and make disciples. Teach all nations can be translated disciple all nations. Thus, the converting influence of the gospel is indicated here. The all nations clearly indicates that the commission of the church is a worldwide one, encompassing the entire missionary effort. The church is not to be merely missionary-minded. The church is a vehicle of Jesus Christ's mission to the world.
I am believer.
For tonight is taken from 2 Peter chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostle of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is that with the Lord are the 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as 1 day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things are to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Let us honor God's word. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. As we continue on this spiritual journey, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world, and honoring the Great Commission, our number one goal is Jesus Christ. Our mission is souls, and our vision is the last day's book of Acts. We encourage you to join us every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at www.blogtalkradio.com/Reverend Davis. We also encourage you to support this ministry for the furtherance of the gospel. We ask and we express our gratitude for any donation that can be sent to House of Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Again, donations will be appreciated for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Our lesson for tonight, as we continue understanding the book of Revelation, is time and eternity.
I heard about his groaning.
humanity, every person that has ever lived, lived or lives in time, yet every single individual that is alive and who has ever lived is destined for eternity. Because of this fact, it stands to reason that we should have clarity and understanding regarding time, for we exist in it, and eternity, for we are destined for it. The Merriam-Webster Collegiate Dictionary defines time as the measure or measurable period during which an action, process, or condition exists or continues. Duration. Time is measured by Earth's rotations and revolutions. Each full spin is a day or 24-hour period. The Earth also revolves around the Sun. It takes 365 days to revolve around the Sun, and we call that period of time a year. So where is time, or where does it exist? Time is on Earth and calculates things based on the Earth. Time measures the natural or earthly. Eternity is not centered around the Earth. Rather, it is centered around God. The Hebrew word for eternity is ad, meaning perpetuity, forever, continuing future, ancient or post-time, forever or future time, of continuous existence, everlasting. Often the human mind cannot comprehend the dynamics of eternity, for all we have known in our existence is time. Eternity has history or facts, yet they are not measured by time. So where is eternity? Is eternity based on a specific place as time is based on the earth? No. Eternity encompasses, or as in it, both the natural realm, the first and the second heaven, which is the sky immediately above the earth, and the cosmos, as well as time, and the spiritual realm, including the third heaven, where God dwells, and hell. Eternity is the container that all existence dwells in. When considering the location of eternity, we must also ponder the question, who will be there? Everyone who has ever lived on the planet will be in eternity. Please understand this point. At physical death, everyone transitions from the realm of time into the eternal realm. Every person that ever lived will exist in eternity. Let me be very clear. I did not say that everyone will live in eternity. Rather, they will exist in eternity. They will exist in hell and the lake of fire, and we, the believer in Jesus Christ, will live in heaven. Hell and the lake of fire will separate people from God, and without God, there is no life, just existence. Those who die without Jesus Christ as their Savior will exist in hell and the lake of fire without having life. They will be the existing dead. Contrary to popular belief, time began at a particular point in eternal history. Genesis 1 verses 3 to 5 gives us the seed, move smoothly or transition of eternal history, moving into time. It reads, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Time began with a day that had an evening and morning, yet without the sun and the moon. The sun, moon, and stars had not been created yet. How can there be a day without the sunrise? Delineating morning and the sun setting, transitioning the day into the evening. Well, our days are not based on the sun or moon. Rather, by full rotation or spin of the earth upon its axis, line which an object rotates. Well, where did the light come from? If the sun, moon, and stars were not created yet, God does not need a rock that is on fire to have light. He is the creator, and he can cause light to just exist, or to be wherever he wants it to be, without any other source than his word. It is God's glory that illuminates. Revelation 21 verse 23 tells of the light that radiates from his glory. It reads, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." It was not until the fourth day that God created the stellar bodies, such as the stars and planets in the heavens, the second heaven, as well as our sun and moon. Genesis 1, verses 14 through 19 says, "And God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day."
Thank you.
contrary to popular beliefs and secular educational teaching, God created Earth as a centerpiece, thereby which time would be calculated. Again, the Earth was created first, then the other stellar bodies second. This does not mean that the Earth was created in the same 7-day period as the rest of creation, such as the other stellar bodies. In Genesis 1, verse 1, we see the creation of the earth and the heavens. It reads, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." The heaven was created first, then the earth, not the solar system and the cosmos, rather the heaven and the earth. The heaven here is talking about the second heaven or space without other stellar bodies, planets, and stars. Space, the second heaven, was created by God, and the earth was then created within. The earth most likely was created a long time before the other stellar bodies and the 7 days of creation. Many believe in what is called the gap theory, which says that between Genesis 1 and verse 1 and Genesis 1 and verse 2, there is a gap of unrecorded time. It is within this gap of time that our dinosaurs and other ancient fossils that are unearthed existed. Time is temporal or temporary, as well as all things that are subject to time. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18 says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Again, time is created, or time is a created thing used to measure, yet it was created with a future purpose to abdicate its ruling position, giving it over to the eternal. Time will one day be no more, for it shall come to an end. The book of Revelation, chapter 10, verse 6, tells us of this fact. It reads, "And swear by him that liveth for ever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no more." Now that we know that time as a calculated day to come to an end, we must ask ourselves, does the Bible give us an insight as to when? Yes, I believe it does. 2 Peter 3, verse 8, gives us a clue as to at what point in time that it might come to a close. It reads, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day." This scripture is a clear statement regarding God's timelessness, yet it also details the years of God's plan for man and time. One day with God is paralleled or compared equal with 1,000 human years. Creation was a 7-day event, including the 7th day of rest. It stands to reason that time will be 7,000 years. 1,000 years for every day of creation. After this, then time will end and eternity will fill the natural realm. Time often deceives people. They think that they will always have it for themselves, causing many to continue living without Jesus Christ, thinking that they can choose him tomorrow and that it will always exist. Devils are not so foolish to believe what humans believe. Rather, they know that time will end and that they will be tormented or punished in eternity. Matthew 8, verses 28 through 29 speaks of this. It reads, "And when he was come to the other side into the country of Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by the way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" Man was originally created to be an eternal being. Man's body became subject to time when he sinned. Genesis 3, verse 17 through 19 gives us these details. It reads, "And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." Man's spirit is eternal, and never was subject to time. After the original sin, man's body was first given a time lifespan of under 1,000 years. That is, no one could live past 1,000 years or one day based on God's time, for he told them that the day that they sinned, they would die, which happened both spiritually and physically, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. When we examine Genesis chapter 5, we see that many people lived close to 1,000 years, including Methuselah, who lived for 969 years. Yet no one reached 1,000 years. This time period, or man's lifespan, decreased as man's sin increased, until today, wherein man is promised 70 years, according to Psalms 90, verse 10, which reads, "The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." Our physical life ends, and then our spirits and soul, which is the mind and psyche, fly away or go into eternity. Again, sin caused a decay in our lifespan or time. The earth is a living thing, intended to bring nutrients and water to the body of man to sustain it in time. Sin caused a decay and breakdown in the earth's ability to sustain extended life in the capsule of time. Throughout the Bible, we see a depletion of man's years. This is due to sin and its contamination of the earth. Sin caused greater damage than we see naturally, for it decayed the strength of the soil, the purity of the water. Let's get back to man being subject to time. Man's physical body was created with natural or earthly material, yet his soul and spirit were created by spiritual material, which are eternal. Genesis 2 verse 7 says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." God used earth or dust as a container to hold the breath of life, pneuma or spirit, which caused man to become a living soul or have a mind to think. Originally, man's spirit and soul were dominant, having constant access to the eternal. Thus, he had the ability to live in the natural world and yet function spiritually, or have access to spiritual things as well. Sin caused man now to be subject to time, shutting him out from access to the spirit. God made man to exist in time, yet not to be subject to time, for he created man to be eternal. This also caused man to have an appointed time upon the earth. Job 7 verse 1 says, "Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of an earling?" It is after our appointed time in time's domain that our natural bodies die, becoming dust, allowing our spirit and soul, which are eternal, to go back to God or spiritual realm for his directions regarding where we will spend eternity. Ecclesiastes 12 verse 7 says, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." Time is under the heavens on earth, and not above the heavens or in eternity. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1 says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven." Sin happened in time, causing eternal consequences. God the Father knew before the fall of man that humanity would need an eternal answer. So God enacted his eternal plan of salvation by sending his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for the sins that man committed in time, thus offering mankind eternal restoration. Jesus Christ was not created to die for mankind. Rather, he was already eternally existing, and he accepted the job of sacrificial lamb, for it will be pleasing to the Father. It is important that you understand that eternity is a spiritual place. All spiritual things are eternal. God is a spirit, and so he is eternal. You are a spirit, and so you are eternal. Angels are spirit, and so they are eternal. Demons are spirits, and so they also are eternal. While time is natural or subject to nature or physical creation, for it is measured by physical activity, rotations and revolutions of the earth, time exists in eternity and not eternity in time. Both natural and spiritual things exist in eternity. The planets, mankind, angels, and demons. Yet spiritual things are not subject to time. Neither is God subject to time, or does he live or exist in time. Rather, God inhabits eternity. Isaiah 57 verse 15 says, "For thus saith the High and Lofty One that inhabited eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the hearts of the contrite ones." The Hebrew word for inhabited is shakan, pronounced shaken, meaning to lodge, to settle down, abide, dwell, tabernacle, reside. God does not reside in time, rather eternity. He can step into time, yet that is not where he dwells. He is in the hearts, the spirits of people. Yet we must understand that the spirits of people are also eternal. For some time now, man has been trying to create an ability to travel through time. This is an eternal principle that they are trying to get to be submitted to time. In eternity, the principle of getting to a place instantaneously is a reality. No place is far from God in eternity, so far from anywhere else, for it does not take time to get there. The natural man is subject to time, which calculates distances, while eternity sits outside of time. And in eternity, our natural bodies will be subject to our spirit dominance, which obeys the laws of eternity. In eternity, we do not travel. Rather, we go or get somewhere based on the will of God. If it is His will that we be on the other side of the universe, then His will, spoken word, is empowered by the Holy Spirit, and we are there at our destination. Truly, we will live and move and have our being in Him, God. It is by God's will, word, and spirit that we shall be transported. This was the case with Philip, when he administered and baptized the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8, verses 39 through 40, which reads, "And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing, But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Philip experienced eternal travel on earth. Also, Jesus Christ, just appearing in the house with the disciples after his resurrection, he stepped from a doorway into it, in eternity, into time. He could have opened the doorway any place that the Father willed for him and be there instantaneously. What we call the third heaven is actually the spirit realm that exists in eternity and as in it heaven itself. It is from the third heaven or spirit realm that you can get to any natural place. It is a portal or door to anywhere in or under the first heaven, earth, or the second heaven, the cosmos. When we read of Jacob's ladder that he dreamed about, it was actually a portal, a doorway in heaven, which is in the spirit realm, wherein the angels descended into the natural realm. Genesis 28, verses 10 to 13. Gives us this fact. It reads, "And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the hearth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac, and the land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed." Because we presently live in time, and one day we will either die or be raptured away when Jesus Christ comes, causing us to transition into eternity. Yet many question, is there life after our physical death in time? And if so, where does it exist? Job asked a similar question. In Job 14, verse 14, which reads, "If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait, till my change come. Every person that ever lived have gone through time and waited until the change from his life in time to eternal life or eternal existence. Those who die without Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior." The Hebrew word for change in this text of scripture is chalipa, pronounced khalifa, meaning a change of garments, replacements, relays, relief from death, or changing, varying course of life. The body that we now have are garments that we use in time, yet in eternity they must be taken off and eventually changed. If there is anything that you learn from this teaching, let it be this. Everyone does not get immortality or eternal life. As I have stated earlier in this teaching, your soul and spirit are eternal, yet it can have eternal life, meaning you will be with God forever, receiving His life, or eternal death, meaning being eternally separated from God, the life giver. God is life, and anything separated from Him is dead. Yet they can exist in a state of depravity and punishment. It is because of Jesus Christ that we can have eternal life and not suffer eternal death or eternal existence. John 10 verses 27 through 28 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Also John 3 verse 16 through 17 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Beloved, you must set your eyes on eternity, not loving this life in time. For without question, it will come to an end. Then what will you do? John 12 verse 25 says, "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." You should live this life that you have in time working for the Lord Jesus Christ, in which it holds eternal merit. Your rewards in eternity are the world to come, and it is important that you serve knowing that this is true. Luke 18 verse 30 says, "Who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting?" The Greek word for world in this text of Scripture is aeon, pronounced aeon, meaning forever, an unbroken age, perpetuity of time, eternity, the world, universe, period of time or age. Beloved, know that time has suffering in it, while eternity has glory. So place your desires there. Romans 8 verse 18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Many people live in time, acting as if they will never run out of it. We must redeem the time or spend our time wisely with eternal purpose and pursuits. If you doubt time's limited ability, just go to a cemetery, and you will find that every name of every person whose physical bodies are there ran out of time, and now they exist or live in eternity. You too will one day do the same. In closing this lesson, I admonish you with this scripture. Jude 1 verse 21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Behold, I come quickly. Once again, we appear to be having some technical difficulties, and I pray that this should be resolved before the end of our show tonight, which we have approximately 4 minutes. In the meantime, I would like to encourage you to tune in to us every Wednesday and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We also encourage you to visit our social network at www.myhocm.ning.com. We also encourage you to visit our online Bible college at www.houseofchristbiblecollege.org.
The cross upon which Jesus died is the shelter.
That loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and that made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace. God bless you and good night. Please be reminded that donations will be appreciated for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. God bless you once again, and good night.